Now, here's Bill Resnick and Tara DeMatte talking about refugees. Bill?
Thanks, Joe. Tara DeMatte, welcome to KABU.
Thanks for having me.
Tara DeMatte works in the leadership of the organization Amnesty International USA. Her specialty is women's rights, LGBT rights, children's rights, and also what we talk about today, refugee and migrants' rights. Last week, Amnesty International released a survey of people all over the world. They called it the Refugees Welcome Index. As to the U.S. part of the survey, they found, and this is what's surprising for many of us, that the vast majority of people in this country, 71%, would welcome more refugees into this country, and 63% said the U.S. government should do more to help refugees. Tara DeMatte, why don't you tell us about Amnesty International just for a minute, and then tell us about the survey, why you did the survey, and its findings.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. So Amnesty International is a grassroots human rights organization founded in 1961. We're a Nobel Prize-winning organization that works for human rights for all people, including refugees and people on the move, of course. We have members all over the world and in every state here in the United States, and we work collectively to make sure that all people can access their human rights through reporting, through advocacy, through lobbying, and through community organizing. So we launched this global survey because we were really concerned with the media we'd been seeing, particularly here in the United States, but in other places, that really played up anti-refugee sentiment and played on the fears that people may have on people on the move and refugees. What we found is that globally, almost without exception, that people feel compassion and concern for refugees, and they don't want to turn their backs on people fleeing war and horrific violence. So what this means is a lot of press, and here in the United States is a great example of that, is totally out of step with the way that actually average Americans or average people around the world feel about refugees and what they're willing to do for refugees.
And you did this study in how many countries? Something like 30, it appeared to me.
Yeah, this was in 27 countries, including the United States.
Uh-huh. And how do you make sense of this? What's so divergent from what we see in the press? It seems to me there are so many groups and people that are and around the world that make a living by and tie their political futures to immigrant bashing. How could they be successful in a world where, in fact, most people are sympathetic to immigrants and often generous and wish their countries would do more?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And those were the findings, that most people, the vast majority of people, 73%, believe people should be able to take refuge in other countries. A vast, overwhelming majority believe that they should be able to take refuge in that country, in that very country that they're living in, right? So, you know, one of the things in the United States, if we think about, is that, you know, oftentimes our press covers not average people and actually the sort of sentiment of people, but politicians. And here in the States, politicians, particularly in Congress, and then, you know, people seeking elective office, who are trying to block refugees are totally out of step. And they're doing it because fear-mongering motivates people. So this anti-refugee sentiment and anti-immigrant and anti-migrant sentiment plays to our basest fears. And we've seen that be successful in U.S. politics before, frankly, right after World War II and internment, and then during World War II and the turning away of Jewish refugees. So we've seen these types of fears have devastating consequences, even when average people don't believe that we should turn our backs on refugees. So I think part of that coverage is because we're covering politicians and the way that they're trying to use messaging to gain political gain as opposed to actually representing the average person's belief about refugees and the average person's compassion.
Yeah, and the fear-mongering. What you're saying, though, is that people both have sympathy for refugees, want to help them, particularly people like the are actively helping individuals. I'll be reading something from a book on disaster, what happens in disasters. The official government often flees, and ordinary people help one another. On the other side, though, people really can be panicked and do things that they would never do if they thought about it, and in fact can be panicked into voting for politicians who are going to save them from this horrific actions by terrorists, refugees. How do we deal with that? Because people are of two minds. They can be frightened. It seems to me we have to sort of, and we really have to control the narrative and or shape the narrative. I gather you're also in the business of trying to shape the narrative.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, one of the things that we do with our work on refugees and migration here in the United States is we do a lot of education, and this isn't just like to the quote-unquote average person. We do a lot of education to Congress as well, which is talking about what the resettlement process here is in the United States for refugees. So I think that, you know, when there's a terrorist attack and people see these attacks and they respond with fear and they're concerned about security, being concerned about a security doesn't mean you have to be anti-human rights, right? Those things can go together. And in fact, when security policy is motivated by human rights, it makes us safer. And when we instead act on fear and misinformation, it doesn't make us safer. So in the United States, a refugee goes through a 2-year process, which includes 14 different security checks, starting with the UN all the way through the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, the FBI. I mean, there's multiple checks. So refugees coming into the United States are the most vetted human beings that come to the United States. No other person who comes into the country is as vetted as refugees. And that basic fact is not something people actually really know. And this includes people who are making laws about refugees, which is really disturbing, right? So part of what we do is try and educate people on how important it is that we speak about human rights while we speak about security, and then also how secure that process already is. The other thing we want to talk about, right, is that refugees are themselves fleeing that horrific violence that we see when we see terrorist attacks, when we see war, and when we see armed groups attacking. That's why refugees are fleeing. They are the people who are trying to escape from that. And so making sure that when we're having those national conversations about conflict and terrorism, that we're not lumping in the groups of people who are just like us trying to make sure they live lives of dignity and safety. So part of that is just education. The other thing, though, is to make sure that we all, no matter where we're sitting, don't feel like we're powerless in this. And I think that when there's reporting in the press, when there's a politician, when your own elected official or someone who'd like to become your elected official is speaking up and using anti-refugee rhetoric, it can be very disempowering. And to hear that, particularly when we as human beings feel compassion and with, you know, 63% of Americans want our own government to do more to help refugees, that we take that opportunity to speak up to make sure that the only narrative being heard isn't this anti-refugee rhetoric, because it is in the minority. And when we don't speak up, then it can sound like it's the majority, and it's not. So I'd really encourage us all to make sure that when we hear anti-refugee rhetoric, we write our letters to the editor, we call into our radio stations, we speak to our friends and neighbors, that we continue that conversation around how we welcome refugees, how Americans want us to welcome more refugees.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour here on KVU in Portland, Oregon. I'm talking to Tara DeMont. We're coming to the end of the interview. You know, when I think about refugees and migrants, I think about both now the terrible wars in the Middle East and refugees all over the world. It's now we're setting world records for the number of people on the run from various places, including global warming, including very brutal wars and brutal dictatorships. Some of it, though, is the product of the refugees do not generally want to leave their country. Most people, in fact, find their country to be a place that they want to live in. It seems to me that U.S. foreign policy also is, it's really important to get involved in attempting to reduce the kinds of conflicts and the global warming problems that lead to refugees. I'm sure you agree with that. I'm not sure, though, that Amnesty International can intervene in those struggles. You have your hands full with all of the others. But why don't you comment for a second?
Sure. I mean, as you've noted, right, that these are intersectional issues, so that when any government is engaged in external affairs or work abroad, that making sure that that work is focused in human rights principles and then actually is tested, and there's, you know, the data to make sure that we're doing things well as a country or individual country is doing good human rights work that has positive impact. And that, I think, particularly is important not only in our aid and development and thinking about, you know, climate change, but really in our security security and, you know, our security and anti-terrorism work. Like, what does that work? How do we lead forward for our own country to make sure that the policies we have, the actions that we take, don't actually cause human rights violations, right? And don't cause massive immigration and refugee crises, don't cause further violations of human rights. And that, you know, it can feel like there's short-term gain there, but the long-term loss is exactly what you've pointed to, is that when we've done this as a country without thinking about human rights, we suffer the consequences later, and ultimately people, like, their real lives are impacted by a lack of human rights. And so that's always the policy that we're pushing for as Amnesty International, is for every country, including here in the United States, to lead with human rights, whatever that policy focus is, whether it's responding to a refugee crisis or preventing one from happening, so while, as we move forward with security measures.
That's great to hear, actually. I didn't realize that Amnesty International was also involved and taking the risk of talking about foreign policy and apparently critiquing lots of aspects of what the U.S. is doing. Sarah DeMont, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right. So long.